You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
I'm at the Coursera Partners Conference at Senate House, University of London, joined by Tim O'Shea, Principal of Edinburgh University. You're sort of very active in MOOCs. You had six courses on Coursera, the first UK university to do so, and you're expanding pretty quickly in that area.
Yeah, I was very lucky. I was at Stanford 2 years ago when the first MOOC that got more than 100,000 came out and where people suddenly paid attention. So I started talking to Daphne and Andrew Den a little bit before they founded Coursera.
Yeah, Daphne Collar and Andrew Eng.
Yes, and it seemed talking to them and talking to other people, it seemed that MOOCs was an obvious thing for Edinburgh to do. I mean, Edinburgh's been very active in electronic delivery for the last 15 years. So it wasn't, MOOCs weren't new to us as a delivery model. They were new to us as a particular delivery model. So, but we've got, you know, Edinburgh now has got more than 50 online master's courses, for example. But we were first non-US university to get seriously into MOOCs. We did six. They were an immense success. We had the most positive Senate I can ever recall chairing in any institution was the one that discussed our six MOOCs. So we are doubling that number, more than doubling it, and we'll double it again, I think. So we can see us going from six to definitely going to 14, almost certainly thereafter going to 30.
Yeah, that's an impressive number. With your online masters, of course, it's easy to see what the university gets out of that. Obviously, you charge a fee for people taking, you know, those courses. You don't charge a fee for people taking the MOOCs, up to 30, you say, in the coming years. I mean, what is it you've been getting out of it? Why was that meeting so positive?
Okay, well, one thing you get out of it is a much wider reach. In terms of people who have joined us as MOOC learners, there are now 20 people for every student we have on the campus. We've about 2/3 of a million, mm-hmm. as against 33,000 on the campus. It's a big reach. You get a big reach, and while it is statistically a very well educated audience, it's much more geographically diverse. We have 140 students come to our campus from 142 countries, and with the MOOCs we've reached 204 countries, so that's large. We've reached groups of people we wouldn't have expected to. So like our philosophy MOOC was reached by quite a lot of secondary school pupils who were interested to know what philosophy at the university was like. And some of those MOOC learners were very interesting because they weren't individuals, they were whole classes with their teacher behaving as if they were a learner. We've had students with MOOC learners with special needs who wouldn't be able to come to a university or school setting but are able to study at home. And obviously some of our students are very old. And a great majority of them are in an age or a location where they couldn't be full-time students. Mm. So that reach has been a big plus. It has allowed us to experiment with different teaching methods. So we have a whole range, and our first six MOOCs were incredibly different. So equine nutrition, very focused on particular, very sharp particular issues. The MOOC on philosophy, introduction to philosophy, very, very discursive. The MOOC on artificial intelligence planning, actually really quite demanding mathematics and logic in it. The MOOC on critical thinking and global health involved particular types of medical and social sciences reasoning. And we had a MOOC about MOOCs. And that has a tremendous diversity of different bits of technology, you know, from virtual environments to. So it's allowed us to experiment with a whole lot of different ways of teaching, different ways of assessing.
Do you feel it's improved how you do stuff on campus?
Exactly. And there is a big feedback, because it means that you can try something out. You can try it out on a convincing number of people, you know, thousands of people you can try it out on. And then if it works, you can say, oh, that's interesting. We will just make that resource available, electronically available, for our regular students.
Mm-hmm. That seems an unusual way of doing it, because you've just said that the number of students doing online mm-hmm. courses dwarfs the number in the university. So surely you run the risk of reputational damage if you're just sort of trying out something that's a little bit untested.
You run the risk of reputational damage if you got it wrong. I mean, in some dramatic way. We have put a lot of emphasis on quality assurance. So we have our own internal sign-off procedures. So we are very confident that what we're doing is not going to fall flat on its face. Mm. What we might be finding, though, is some level of educational gain that we haven't seen before, or it might become clearer to us because of the volume that there is some approach that we thought might be a good way of doing something that really is sort of pointless or ineffective. So it's turned into a super laboratory for refining our educational processes. And of course, when something really works spectacularly well that you haven't done before, then everybody runs around and says, gosh, look at this way of doing peer assessment. Just, isn't that fabulous? And of course, immediately you start saying, well, what other courses might I apply that to?
Interesting stuff. I know one of your courses, the majority are on Coursera, hence why we're here, but one of them is on FutureLearn as well. I mean, have you anything to report in terms of the difference working between the American platform and the Open University-owned FutureLearn here in the UK?
Too early to say. I mean, there are a range. We've been using three platforms. I mean, I think, you know, at this stage in the development of MOOCs, you know, the sensible thing for an institution that's got the capability, which we certainly have, is to look at all the available platforms one way or another. Obviously, the most intensive way of looking at a platform is to actually produce a MOOC and run it on it. We are obviously scanning, we're looking at the whole space of platforms and the platforms will continue to evolve.
Mm. Rick Levin spoke this morning, he's the new Coursera CEO, of course, and one of the things he said he'd be addressing was perhaps a slightly one-way conversation that a lot of institutions have reported to him, so Coursera telling them what to do rather than listening to what they want to do. Is that something that you've come across?
Not at all. Quite the reverse. I mean, I mean, perhaps we benefit from a very close connection to Stanford. I've just come back from study leave on Stanford when I was visiting Coursera and Daphne then. And I was there a year ago, and I visited Coursera, had some very nice chats with them. And I was there a year ago chatting to them as they were setting it up, and they're very open about their plans, very... I don't know, did you listen to Daphne this morning?
I did, yes.
Yes, well, one of the things you probably noticed was her explaining to the audience things that I had told her about the use of Google alongside. No, we have a very... I have to say I find Coursera extremely easy and positive to deal with. It's been a great pleasure working with them, actually.
And FutureLearn?
Let's close into that, which is a bit strange for me because I'm formerly from the Open University, but the introductory MOOC, MOOC on the introduction of Higgs boson has gone very well. So we feel positive about that, so we'll see where we go.
Did you choose that topic because it's quite headline-grabbing, certainly given the research done at CERN? You know, you have Higgs, of course, on your books at Edinburgh. Was it a no-brainer, or are you chasing the headlines?
We thought it would be a sort of... How will I express this? I thought it would be a sort of gracious and friendly gesture to offer FutureLearn a MOOC on the Higgs boson. and it has been very successful. And it, in fact, is the only MOOC in which I appear. Also, I just appear as Peter Higgs' stooge, obviously.
Very good. Tim O'Shea, Principal of Edinburgh University, thanks for your time.
Great pleasure.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.